As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That sound means one thing. Tech Talk is on the air. The Twins and Braves play later. Our pregame show, the lineup card at 5:30, first pitch after 6. Looks like a warm night in Atlanta for game 2 of that 3-game series. And, of course, Tech Talk with Doug Swindhart for the entire hour. And it's simple. If you want to talk computers, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call or text the program. And you can do so. One number, 651-461-9226. Text come right into the studio and we'll get you on the air. Or if you call, you'll visit with today's producer, Jonathan Lowe. Good to have Jonathan on board. He's typically in on Sundays. But Lindsay has the day off, so Jonathan Lowe is with us here on Tech Talk. Hey, Doug, it's been a while. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, not so bad. You know, I try to watch the news, and I don't know if you caught this, but 2 days ago, the White House claimed that they have technology that they can control time and space. That kind of caught my eye. I expect to see more of that. I figured we'd be talking about, you know, the litigation with Facebook and how they're a monopoly and that kind of stuff. But this is this one kind of grabbed me.
Yeah, there is a lot of this stuff out there that makes you wonder, and you have to wonder if that's just clickbait. Because going online, going to a website, even logging into, say, my old Yahoo account, you know, their homepage is littered with these stories, and they must work overtime to write these headlines on these stories in a way that get you to click. And occasionally I will, and then I read the first paragraph and go, it's not exactly that. It's kind of funny how that works, that getting you to click, getting you to look a little bit further, you know, is kind of the holy grail. And more times than not, I'm disappointed, or it never turns out to be what they say.
Oh, I thought that about YouTube for a long time, but this was in Newsweek, and the gentleman that talked about it is Michael Crazio, I believe that's how it's pronounced, and he director of the White House Office of Science and Technology, and he made the remark, our technologies permit us to manipulate time and space. And people fell off their chair.
yeah.
So
wow.
This is going to be one to watch, I think. Just keep an eye on it. Well, I don't know how he would ever make a statement like that. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, that is certainly out there. When you speak of emerging technologies, we keep hearing about AI or artificial intelligence and how rapidly it's moving forward. And one of the things, since we did our last show, that I keep hearing over and over is that AI is quickly transforming how we interact with the internet. That it is changing behavior and amplifying algorithms that point us in a certain direction based on previous searches, based on, for instance, YouTube, videos you've watched. It's really interesting when I interact with YouTube and watch some shorts or watch some nature videos or some other things. Sometimes the rabbit holes that it'll point me into, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm not really interested in that. I was just trying to watch a nature video or something about old architecture or whatever, just something to wind down, something relaxing. And it is amazing, based on the videos that I do watch, for instance, on YouTube, if they're shorts or longer format.
Yeah, I do know that too.
What pops up behind that is really interesting, and that is going to rapidly evolve. What we're able to see, what we're able to get to.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think that I've been watching that pretty close myself. And I think the thing is with AI, is it takes a peek at our profile maybe 30, 40 years back. And you know, we have evolved mentally, and well, we're kind of focused on what we're trying to find and what we're looking at. And that, I think, creates some of this extra, static. You're better off if you can stay focused and keep your mind what you're trying to deal with. But yeah, this it bounces around pretty good. It really does. That's it kind of makes you wonder, really, how much control AI already has.
Yeah, and I've said this before, that when I'm writing emails, whether it's in Gmail, and I use Gmail, really, we're tied to Gmail. Here at CECO Radio, we have Gmail accounts, and then my full-time job during the week, we have Gmail accounts. That's what the company uses, and that's the company email. I happen to have a private Gmail account. But one of the features of Gmail that has gotten annoying is every time I want to write a new email, well, you want help with AI. And yeah. I brought this up on the show recently before. No, I don't. I am perfectly capable of writing my own emails. And I think that is the big danger, that we are seeding things that we can easily do ourselves, that we can easily accomplish as human beings, and we're seeding it to the machines or AI. I'm very leery of that and not a big fan of it. I don't need AI to write an email for me. And I'm adamant about that, and I've said it before, but I mean, come on. Really?
I couldn't agree more. And the thing is I think that there is a lot of people that are concerned about this. It's one thing if it wants to help my grammar or my punctuation, but there's programs that don't have AI at all that do that.
And well, spell check's been around forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm also concerned because eventually it's going to influence the email that you send. And you know enough about communications to where the written word doesn't always express the tone meant by the author. And with AI popping in there, it could change the entire, it would compromise your email almost to a point of ridiculous. And, well, look good to you when you hit it. I just don't want to see it be changing without people's information. I can't get it shut off on my end either, so I stopped using Gmail. I'm almost exclusive Proton now.
Yeah, and I would assume there are other email services, web-based email, that are pushing this AI feature. And once again, it is inevitable in certain fields of endeavor, but I think people need to tread very lightly when they move into this and jump whole hog. And I think that there's a number of things, and I've read articles, that there will be an inevitable blowback to all of this where people will seek out, pay for, or gravitate toward real human-created content, whatever that is.
Well, I've been thinking that for years. Yeah, yeah. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
It's kind of like homemade. You know, it's hard to beat well-done homemade food. And I have a feeling there's going to be a real market for something that's genuine and not created artificially.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't agree more. I've been real leery about this AI. It's such a buzz today. You know, everybody wants to jump on, but you wonder why it's quite as valuable as it. You know, I don't know if you heard this, but Elon Musk recently offered OpenAI, which is open source, $100 billion, and they said no, we won't do that. It's got to stay open. That's just blew my mind. $100 billion? Good gracious.
Well, because I think those at the cutting edge of this realize what it's going to mean. And you continue to see articles that say there are human beings working in jobs right now where AI is headed. Will there be a need for those jobs or the human beings to do those jobs? And I don't think we've come to grips with that as a society on what that's going to mean going forward. What do? People find value in work, being productive. It is important for human beings to feel productive and a part of things. Productive members of society. And when machines and AI start taking that away, I don't think we've come close to dealing with the ramifications of all of that.
I couldn't agree more. You know, each one of us as a human, we need to feel like we have purpose. We really do. It's just ingrained in us. And I think that a lot of people who are pushing the AI, they've got this dream that, well, nobody will ever have to work. You know, we'll have machines cleaning our house and washing our dishes and ordering our groceries, and we can just play and frolic in the sunshine every day and go to the beach. And, well, I can't see where we're going to end up any happier. I think that would be complete boredom, but that's my opinion.
Well, and it gets back, people say, well, or have asked, you know, you're busy, you work full time, you do the radio thing, you do games, why don't you hire someone to mow the lawn? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I suppose I could. But yeah. I do get satisfaction out of going out and mowing the lawn and putting the mower away and going, look at what I've done. I mowed the grass. It looks great. There is value in all of that, in my opinion. And I'm just worried about that part of it with AI. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call or text the program. And the number is 651-461-9226. Here's a good one from our text line. Is it possible to retrieve emails that were received 15 or 20 years ago? What is the timeline on email, Doug?
It never goes away. If you have a Gmail account and you open up the side folders and you just click on all mail, even email you've deleted, it's there. And it will always be there. Now, if you delete it out of all mail, I think they still keep it on the server, but you won't have access to it. Yeah, I have emails from the very first Gmail account that I had that was within probably the first 2,000 Gmails created. I was invited to beta test. And I don't know how old they are. They're way, way back. But, yeah, they're there. They're absolutely there.
Yeah. And I would assume an email in your inbox or a sent email, you know, would be there in perpetuity. I've had a Yahoo account, and this Gmail account's 14 years old. My Yahoo account, a lot older than that. Matter of fact, during the break, I'm going to go in there and see how old some emails are, how far back I can go. Probably a long, long way. It is 319. Yeah. And by the way, if you want to reach Doug, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, Tech Talk underway here on a Saturday at News Talk, 830-WCCO.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart on board for the entire hour. Friendly reminder, all our shows available at WCCORadio.com. It is WCCO Tech Talk. And we invite you and encourage you to download the podcast. So if we have a ball game and we're not on the air live, you can still get all those shows at the website. And once again, we're thrilled if you're able to take advantage of those podcasts. That's always good stuff. All right, Doug, back to my old Yahoo. I logged in. I've had it for a long, long time. And I just, out of curiosity, went back 15 years and typed in 2010. And there they are. All the emails, I just went into the send file. And I kind of went back into the Wayback Machine and go, oh, I remember doing that. Oh, I remember reaching out to that guy. It is unusual. So, boom, just like that, went back 15 years in my old Yahoo account. So that stuff sticks around. And it's a reminder, and we talked about this on social media and things you do on the computer, that this stuff will likely live forever.
Oh, no question about it. And Gmail went public in 2004. I can't recall the month.
Yeah.
But I've got emails all the way back to 2002, and they're, every one of them. What I even found some old drafts underneath the old underneath all mail. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. People should realize that too. There's if you put something on the net, it's forever. You should think those terms.
Yeah, it will live in perpetuity. That is for sure. Let's go to the phone lines. And by the way, our number, call or text, 651-461-9226. And we bring in Rick. Rick, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, say, Doug, I'm wondering, on a lot of the TV ads that I see every day, I swear I'm still seeing the old symbol for teletype, which I think is TTY. Now, are they still using teletype?
Oh, sure, for people with impairments, absolutely.
Oh, amazing. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
TTY.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Still in use. When I got started in radio, and I won't admit the year, but it goes back a while, and the first real full-time radio job I got, the radio station, we had an old AP teletype machine with the old ribbon, and we'd have to change the ribbons in it, and it had the paper on rolls, and it was like a newsprint. And one of the jobs was, when you were on the air, not only to spin the records and do the weather and read the news and that sort of thing, was to go out and rip down the wire, because the AP was sending these stories down the line, the latest forecast, sports scores, etc., on this teletype, and you would put them up on these pegs or nails. They were literally just nails, and you'd take them off and you'd put them up there. So it was an archive, a running archive, and then someone would take the old ones down and recycle those and so on and so forth. So it goes back that long, but yeah, some of that technology is still in use. In TTY, yes, very much so.
No doubt. Absolutely. But, and you know, the thing is it's such an established technology that it's modernized now. There's nobody tearing papers off, that kind of stuff.
No.
But basically, it's the same communications.
Yep. So definitely still in use and still very valuable. There are certainly other technologies out there. By the way, if you want to text or call, 651-461-9226. Before we run out of time on the show, and I know we're going to get very busy by the end of the program and not be able to get everyone in, but I do want to bring up, if you have a Windows machine, we bring it up from time to time, is Prevazor. This is something you highly recommend. If you have a Windows machine, get this program. Doug, tell us more. What does it do? Why is it of value?
Just absolutely top shelf. The way that it goes in and you get it set up and it cleans out your temp files and it cleans out all your garbage. If you tell it to take out your history and your browsers, it'll do that automatically. It just goes places that most people will never, ever go in Windows. It just does such a great job. In addition to that, It will actually clean out your hard drive and re-optimize your data that's on your hard drive, and it will create extra space. I just can't say enough good things about Pervasor. Anybody with a Windows machine, I don't care whether you're using Windows 8, 10, 11, even going into 12, they're ready. This is a great team of people. They do great, great work. And I'm just glad that it's still open source, and I would encourage people that like it, like you and I, to every once in a while donate a little money. In fact, I sent them like $20, must have been a couple months ago, and I'm on a limited income, but they deserve it. They really do. And if everybody just sends a little, it will keep the project moving forward. I love this program, and it's PRIVAZER.com.
Yep, really good stuff. PRIVAZER. It is, once again, invaluable if you have a Windows machine. One other thing I wanted to bring up before our weather break about Windows, and there is a great deal of concern about certain versions of Windows, and do I need to upgrade? Do I need to buy new equipment? Sort that out for us. Later in the year, there's concern about, is it Windows 10 will not be supported?
Here again, if you've got the security updates, as you approach that date, just turn off your updates completely. And you can do that with a program from Chris Titus. And that's ChrisTitus.com. He's got a program called Windows Toolbox. And I would shut that all the updates off a week, 2 weeks ahead of time. And in fact, that program will allow you to accept only security updates. No feature updates, none of the extra garbage. But once you get disconnected from Microsoft, now if you got Microsoft Office and you're doing it the online and local version together, that might be troublesome. That you might also want to download LibreOffice Suite to make sure you can get your documents and that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that if you are cautious and you decide to get an external antivirus, certainly wouldn't hurt. But you can keep running it. There's no law against that whatsoever. And people are concerned about Windows 11, but every time they come up with like a thing to make you buy a new computer, somebody comes up with a method on how to bypass it. And I believe that Windows today is considered to be free. Not really, but it's free. So I don't think you're having any trouble at all keeping your Windows up to date if you wish. I would say that I'm kind of old school. I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You can always fix it after it's broke. Just make sure you got all your copies of your data. The big thing that we can really impress upon people, Steve, is data is what's important, nothing else. Protect your data. That's what it's there for. If you got three copies of your data and Windows crashes, so what? Put out a new version of Windows, start from fresh, or shoot up and test a couple of the spins of Linux, and just relax, enjoy it. I think that nothing to get worried about, nothing to worry about whatsoever. Yep. I hope that helps.
Yeah, for sure. And once again, back up your data as long as you have, in the cloud, physical copy, a working copy, you should be in good shape. Quick break. We'll come back. We have much more. We're going to get into Outlook following the break, if you're still using Outlook. And this has to do with the local install of Outlook. So we'll get into that with Doug following the weather. It is Tech Talk here on a Saturday. Our producer is Jonathan Lowe here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Tech Talk resumes. Doug Swinhart in through 4 o'clock today. Podcasts available anytime at WCCRadio.com. Still time to get in on the show. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, go back to that Windows 10 talk, and at the end of the year, updates won't be offered. You can give Microsoft $30 and get security updates for another year. What are your thoughts on that?
I think if you use Microsoft exclusively, that would be a good expense for you to make. I really do. Security updates are one thing. The feature updates and all of the extra fluff I just don't think is necessary. But if you're exclusively running Microsoft Windows and you want to keep it, I think that's a good plan. I really do.
Yeah, and $30 seems reasonable.
You don't get much for $30 anymore,
no,
right?
No, that's for sure.
And, you know, when they're selling to 4.5 million people, that $30 can add up. You know, it doesn't take long at that point. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Yeah, and then beyond that, at some point, it's like any operating system. We bring up XP, and we brought up XP before. It was a wonderful operating system. There are still machines disconnected from the World Wide Web that still run XP just fine. And it's kind of a shame, and you and I have talked about it over the years, that that it's a shame that there isn't a way for good old operating systems like that to be safe and secure on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, the only thing that you can do if you're running XP, in my opinion, is to have a pure Linux machine, so you boot into Linux. And then once you get your Linux all set up and configured, you install, download and install, free of charge, of course, Oracle VirtualBox, and you install XP under what's called a virtual machine. You can pop into there, and you can have another window to get on the internet, but I would have to agree. When you're in the XP environment, I don't think you want to go on the internet at all. But that's a method to use that you don't even have to reboot your machine then to go back and forth between operating systems. VirtualBox is just a wonderful program, and that's a little company in Minneapolis, you know, called Oracle. Yeah, I'm sure you're aware of that small little business, right?
Yeah, for sure. Let's get into Outlook. From our text line, by the way, our number, call or text, 651-461-9226. I have an old local install. Outlook Calendar is a way to move it to Outlook 365, and that's part of Microsoft Office 365. It's a subscription service, and you know, you can get all of those traditional tools in Office, Word, Excel, etc., you name it. It does include Outlook. I would think, Doug, there would be a way to move that over.
Oh, piece of cake. You know, here's the thing. I'm really not a big promoter of Office 365. They've got some issues. They still have. And normally, your local copy should work really well. Now, that said, if you require more space, if you've got a ton of data locally, you're really flirting with death. You got to expand that database. Then, yeah. And I would say just open up a web browser, go to Google, and just simply type in MS Outlook local install space plus space how to migrate Office 365. How to migrate Windows and Microsoft. The company of Microsoft wants everybody up in the cloud. One caveat, and you'll get right on top. Google will come up and it'll say AI overview. There's your AI. And it comes up and just gives you step-by-step instructions. Now, one caveat to this is each version of Outlook, make sure you know what version of Outlook you have. And just go to the help button and click it, slide down to the bottom and about Outlook, and you'll have the correct version, and add that to that search. It's a piece of cake, but you're not going to have any trouble with that at all. You might want to take and do a copy of your .pst files before you begin. That way you can always put it back if you want to, just in case Microsoft rearranges those. But you're going to have a 365 account, and just take your time, follow the steps, and you'll bang, 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 and it'll be done. Yeah, that's a snap. If Microsoft didn't want you to do that, it would be just a headache. But Microsoft is promoting this, so yeah, you shouldn't have any trouble at all.
Yeah, and by the way, .pst, what's in a file like that?
Well, that's where your data resides in Outlook. It's,
okay.
It's kind of buried on different versions of Windows and different versions of Outlook. It's underneath the user file. It's usually 3, 4, 5 levels deep in your directories, subdirectories, and directories, or folders, whatever you want to call them. So it's difficult to just give a direct, here's where you go to find it. But if you open up your menu and just search asterisk period PST, you're probably going to have multiples. And I would just say copy them all and put them on a USB drive or an external hard drive. Get them off your machine completely. And that way, while you're doing your reinstall or your upgrade or your import, depending on what version you have of Windows and Outlook, there could be some different variables as to how to accomplish this task. But it's you'll find it. And once you get started, probably 20 minutes it'll be finished. And good luck with that. But I would say, you know, the calendar, I would encourage you to take a look at proton.me. That's a free email account. It's got a calendar, contacts, all built in. Check it out, proton.me. But if you really love Outlook, by all means, it's your machine. Have it your way. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and once again, that .pst file, that's got contacts, that's your emails, etc., correct?
Oh, it's got everything. You can either export all of it from within Outlook, or you can just copy the whole file. I say copy the whole file, then you got it.
Yeah, all right.
No matter what goes on, you have it. That's the way to go. But you're absolutely correct. That's your the entire data set.
That's the whole enchilada when it comes to your email. Okay, I want to get back to one thing, and that's about Windows 10 and keeping Windows 10 going. One option, sure. Give Microsoft this fall $30, and you'll get security updates for another year. Who knows how long that'll continue? They may do it again. We just don't know. But if you want to shut off the updates from Windows this fall and the security updates and go it alone, if you will, once again, what are the programs you recommend to make sure that you're safe and secure online and you continue to move forward?
Oh, yeah, and there's a ton of information online about this. I'd go to YouTube and check out, see if you can find a couple of YouTubes that'll help you out. They'll talk about how to create a user account versus an administrator account and how to shut off file sharing and print sharing and uncheck being a client for Microsoft. And you can get really quite technical with this. And it's really quite simple. It's just click. Really, what makes computers complicated in my mind is that people are they've never seen it. Once they see it, they go, oh, is that it? Well, and I think you'll agree with that as well, Steve. It's just, once you see it and the mystery is gone, well, they're not that complex after all. And I think that you're more than safe. But there is a ton of information. And one thing that I would say, too, when you're running that search, whether it be Google, Yahoo, there's a number, start page, DuckDuckGo, I would say, have enough knowledge about search engines to where you can click the tools button and tell it you want the information for the last year or the last month or the last 5 months. When you narrow down your time frame like this, your searches are going to be much, much cleaner. The results are going to be much better. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and then finally, on a Windows machine, if you're going to go that route and not give Microsoft more money and shut off those types of updates, you want good antivirus malware protection. And obviously, if you have a Windows machine, we've already established that, you should be running Prevazor regularly.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean,
and that money that Microsoft is charging, that's also going to cover Windows Defender as well. So you really shouldn't need extra antivirus. And again, it depends on how you use your computer.
But if you don't give them the internet. But if you don't give them the money, then it's imperative that you have a good outside virus and malware protection, correct?
Well, I would certainly recommend it, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Quick break. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Still time to get in. 651-461-9226. And we're going to get talk about a Surface Pro 7 that intermittently drops internet. We'll get into that. And we'll do another follow-up on Windows updates and get Doug's opinion on that in general here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Twins and Braves from Atlanta beginning at 5:30 with the lineup card. Right now it's Tech Talk with Doug, podcasts available at WCCRadio.com. So if we're not on the air live on a Saturday, check out the podcast and spread the word on that. All right, Doug, back to Windows updates. Once again, Windows 10 later in the year won't be supported. You can give Microsoft $30 this fall, and you'll get security updates. Is it important in Windows to always take every update? What are your thoughts?
I haven't done that for 20 years. Okay. In fact, there was a time where Microsoft would actually send out the information for each update, what it's going to be, so administrators could determine which machines should have what updates applied. Yeah. And I love that. Well, they stopped doing that. But this taking everything, it's just not good, especially now that they're sending out drivers. I haven't done that at all. So security updates and critical updates, absolutely. But over and above that, I would say you shouldn't need them. You really shouldn't. Now, if you've got Office, keep that up to date. That's something that's a whole different animal. Stay with that, and I think you'll be just fine.
Yeah, and do a little reading before you just take 100% of every update, et cetera. No matter what the device is, no matter what the operating system is.
Good advice.
Yeah, even with the iPhone, you know, you're supposed to take those updates. But I still do a little reading. What's this going to do? What are they addressing? Take a little time before you just willy-nilly, you know, spend a minute or two reading about it or doing a little bit of research. One other one I want to get into.
I think on Apple devices you're probably safer to take them all. But still, you should know. It's your equipment. You should know.
All right, we've only got about a minute left, but I want to squeeze this in before we get your phone number and email. Surface Pro that intermittently drops internet. With any device, what could be going on if it's dropping the internet?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to just basic Wi-Fi here and say, check to see how many connections you have. Uh-huh. If you got more than three or four, get rid of everything except your home and be prepared to retrain them. That's the biggest thing. If you have to, if you have to, just completely delete the entire network, the adapter, reboot your computer, and redo it. Yeah. Sometimes that alone will just clean it right up. And if that doesn't do it, I'd be looking at how far you're away from the router and your internet.
All right, Doug, quickly, phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a great weekend.
News and weather in a moment.